Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Elias Crusaders. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Tom Rackers of the News Tribune. And before Tom and I discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Tom's conversation with Elias head coach Chris Henches.
Quick look back at last week. You know, a workmanlike win against Smith Time.
Yeah. Yeah, and I thought it was. You know, I thought offensively we probably clicked for four quarters better than we have all year. I thought Drew played really well, you know, threw the ball. You know, we scored. We had eight possessions. We scored on seven of those eight possessions and had one punt. So pretty happy. No turnovers. Pretty happy with the offensive performance. And I thought defense played really well. You know, we gave up a late score, but, you know, that was against our reserves. But I thought we dominated that game from start to finish.
And now, you know, you're done with C-Mac for the year. Now you get to play Vianney. And it's turned out to be a pretty nice series with them, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. And, you know, to play a Class 6 school from St. Louis is good for the district points too, and you know, a Catholic school very similar to us in many ways, and we're hoping it's a rivalry that we can continue to play. You know, it's sometimes hard to find the team that a good team that you want to play there in week nine, and it's been a good placement on our schedule.
Now, Vianney comes in 0-8, but again, you look at their schedule, that's a little deceiving, isn't it?
It is deceiving. They're a good football team. They've got some very, very talented players and a first-year coach. And, you know, like all first-year coaches, you struggle, you know, to establish your program and, you know, your team's identity and how you're going to do things offensively and defensively, which was different than what Coach Masters had when he was there for 3 years. So, you know, it's always a struggle. Then it's more of a struggle when you're playing in the Metro Catholic and you have week in and week out teams like CBC and DeSmit and SLU and Chaminade. Those are not easy teams to play. And, you know, when you really watch them on tape, I think one thing that sticks out is you see effort. They play hard. They really play hard. And, you know, I commend them for getting their kids to play hard, you know, even though it's been kind of a struggle season for them.
Now, it's going to be kind of a special night here tonight, too, at the stadium, and with retiring some jersey numbers.
Yeah, you know, if you've ever been in our field house lobby and you've ever kind of seen the football All-Americans and the retired jerseys, things kind of begin with John Staggers back in 1965. And what most people don't know is that we had three All-Americans prior to 1965. And I didn't know that, and I thought I knew everything about Hawaii's football, and I really didn't discover that until a little bit later. I was actually doing a lot of research, doing the history of Hawaii's football research back in 1998 when my dad was retiring in his last year. And, you know, I wanted to put together, you know, kind of a nice, you know, overview of Hawaii's football history, and digging through the old, you know, paper clips from the News Tribune and the old yearbooks, I discovered that we actually had three All-Americans back there. And we probably should have rectified this a long time ago. We probably really should have. But Tom Bacon and Leon Delasus and George Heisler were all All-Americans that played for Jack Sneeders back in the late 50s and early 60s. And so we're going to honor them tonight. And, you know, we're going to give their families a framed jersey, and we're going to put one of their blue jersey. We tried to get a retro look and try to match the jersey that they wore back in those days. Obviously, we don't have that jersey still laying around, but I think it'll be a nice addition to our trophy case to have those three honored.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, that was Elias head coach Chris Henches. And Tom, I'm sure it's a case of probably the less said about last week, the better, but we do have to talk about it a little bit. You know, close out C-Mac play with a 45-21 win over Sedalia Smith Cotton to end, you know, 5-1 in the C-Mac. Not where they wanted to be, you know, one game behind Rockbridge, but that's how this season happened to go.
Yeah, you know, I think when they lost to Rockbridge, they kind of knew that the conference season was over, you know, that the race was over for the title. And so, you know, at that point, there were still things to play for. And,
sure.
And you know, they don't want to lose conference games. So, you know, beating Capital City and Jeff City and then Sedalia is big. And, you know, and like I mentioned to Chris, I'm pretty sure it was in the part that we played earlier. You know, I said it was workmanlike. Now, I don't know that he necessarily agreed with what I said workmanlike, but it kind of was to me. You know, they played well. He really liked the offense, you know, scored seven of the eight times they had the ball. You know, defensively gave up some yards and you know, Smith Cotton got a late touchdown against the twos, which made the score look a little closer than it should have been. But, you know, it was a game, you know, that, you know, they got a chance to play, they played well, and should be confident coming out of that game.
that was the only really kind of thing that to me stood out from the standpoint of, you know, we've heard a couple people in a couple different podcasts who've, you know, have seen Smith Cotton before this year, who said that they are better than they have in the past couple years. You know, it's still kind of one of those things where you look at it and go, 21 to me was a little bit much, but like you say, late score maybe kind of inflates that a little bit. And how much better is Smith Cotton than they've been the last couple years?
Oh, yeah, you know, you can tell you, well, the first two times I played in conference, Sedalia kicked a field goal, I'm pretty sure, either in the fourth quarter or on the last play of the game to actually get on the scoreboard.
Okay.
So they are improving. I think, you know, the new coach from Kearney is going to do very well there. I mean, that should be the only game in town. You know, Sedalia is a big school, and if they can get football going again, you know, it was 15, 20 years ago, Sedalia was a pretty decent program.
Right, right.
And, you know, can they win the CMAC in the future? Who knows? But they can be middle of the pack.
Yeah.
You know, and in that conference, that's not bad playing the competition you're playing.
Exactly. So now we got to get refocused for, you know, one more game before the playoffs start, and it's kind of one of those weird games from the standpoint of it's a non-conference game. That's going to be that slot on the schedule with the way the CMAC's going to work out. So it's always going to be somebody, but it's Helias now 6-2. They're playing an 0-8 Viani team. So it's one of those things where you go, this is probably not the ideal matchup for you in this week, unless maybe you're looking at it from the standpoint of, you know, you can get healthy. You may not have to play your starters the whole game. You know, we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, just in case somebody doesn't know, the CMAC, you basically have weeks 2 through 8 to play your conference games. Week 1 is always non-conference. Week 9 is always non-conference. And then somewhere in 2 and 8, with there only being 7 teams right now, there's another non-conference game tossed in somewhere.
Sure.
That'll be changing probably about 2026, but we can talk about that at another time. But it's coming. Okay. But, you know, Viani's a good week 9 game for them. You know, they played three of the last 4 years. They didn't play in 2020 because of COVID. But it's, you know, a Class 6 team, so they're going to get points for playing a class above them.
Right.
And, you know, it's competitive. I mean, they played back in the days when Viani had D1 players all over the field.
Sure.
So you know, they're not, you know, Viani's now in a down cycle right now, which we don't need to get into. It has to do with St. Louis and high school kids and things. But, you know, they have a chance to come back. I mean, they've been competitive before. It's just not going to be this year.
So you mentioned the fact that they're going to get some points for playing up. I think that's key because, you know, I mean, we're a week away from district play, and everybody's kind of wondering how things are going to shake out, who's going to end up where. I think it's just one of those things where you look at it and go, okay, what are the district standings right now? Where does Helias slot in? How does that sort of thing, you know? And, again, we'll get back to this week in a minute. But this does have implications for what next week is going to be like.
It does. Right now the district standings, Holt is 1, Capital City is 2, and Helias is a point behind Capital City in 3. Let's just, for argument's sake, say they all 3 win, and they all win by 13. What'll happen is Holt will stay 1. It doesn't matter what about points for Helias and Capital City, because they stay 2-3. Helias will jump them to get the 2 spot because they beat them a few weeks ago. And so that pushed Capital City down to 3. The interesting thing is Holt is playing Timberland tonight. And Timberland is 4th in the district, has been state ranked. They've fallen out the last couple weeks. But if Timberland would beat Holt, that has potential to throw a monkey wrench into anything.
Okay.
Capital City could jump to 1, and then Helias would still probably be 3rd, and they couldn't jump Capital City. So, you know, in an ideal world, if you're a Crusader fan, you want Holt to win and just maintain that number 1 spot.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because, like say, it's one of those things where sometimes it feels like this is the week where there's not much left to play for, but this is literally one of those instances where you go, yeah, every game kind of matters in the grand scheme of things because, you know, crazy things can happen. So, you know, the first thing that you have to do, though, if you're Helias, is go out and take care of business. So,
yeah.
With that being said, what's on the table tonight in terms of what does Viani do that you're going to have to be concerned about that's going to maybe keep you from getting that win that you so desperately want?
They have a handful of skilled position players.
Okay.
And I'm going to apologize because finding some information on them is difficult.
Okay.
Because they're 0-8, but they do have, you know, a decent quarterback who got hurt, and then there was a freshman came in recently, and if he plays, he can sling it too.
Okay.
They've got some talented receivers. It'd be a good test, I think, for the Helias secondary. they don't run the ball very much. I mean, this is going to be a 70-75% passing offense.
Okay.
It's going to be at Rancho Stadium tonight. So, okay. The secondary, which is full of freshmen and sophomores, is going to get a test.
Right.
And one thing to look out for, too, is Hawaii's is still banged up on lines, but offense and defensive lines, but they really have had problems this year. Not problems. They haven't gotten a lot of sacks. They're averaging a little more than one a game. You know, and I think you would look for them to maybe get more pressure on the quarterback tonight and make them uncomfortable, which would help out the secondary as well.
Sure. So you mentioned that they're a little banged up on the lines. How is kind of the overall health at this point? I know we've talked the last couple of weeks about things have been the injury list has been full.
Yeah.
So how are things? Are they trending better? Are they trending the same? How are things looking right now for the Crusaders?
Chris told me they're getting healthier.
Okay.
And then spent the next 2 minutes telling me who was hurt.
Sure.
Yeah. So
at least it's forthcoming, I guess.
Yeah. They are. You know. Jacob Lanigan, Brady Rush, both got injured during the game last week against Sedalia. They will be playing tonight. Unfortunately, they were looking for Dalton Chulin to come back and play from an injured leg, and then he injured his toe in an accident at home, so now he can't play.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, and Trevor Cobb, a high ankle sprain, you know, those things just take time. So he's like in his second week with that. He won't play.
Okay.
The kids that have the concussions, they are being extra, extra, extra careful with. They're not, you know, the linemen, they're not going to play tonight either.
Okay.
So we're still going to see a lot of, you know, I think Chase West, again, maybe the only week one starter on the offensive line that plays again tonight.
Right.
But, it's kids getting experience. Chris has put a positive spin on that. He said, we thought our seniors were going to dominate our offensive and defensive line all year, and that we were going to go into next year with not knowing what we had.
Right.
Well, now they know what they got.
Sure.
Because those guys have played, and they've played a lot.
Yeah.
So, and they don't need it. And the concussion guys are probably going to be out. You know, they're out this week, and I would assume that they will be out for the district opener.
Okay.
And then I think there's a chance they'll be back for that district semifinals. If not, then for sure if Hawaii would advance to the district final.
You know, it's like you say, you got to try to take the good with the bad, and you got to try to make positives out of these things. I think this is one of those situations where, obviously, that's nothing you have control over. So you've got to teach these kids at some point, hey, we just have to figure this out, and we got to figure it out on the fly. The good thing is they've been able to kind of deal with this, where if this continues to be a thing, at least it's not something that they're unfamiliar with. They've done it now a couple weeks in a row, so, you know, as you kind of get some of this, you do get more, you know, you get more reps for some of these guys. Have they been able to kind of maybe expand the playbook during these past couple weeks with some of these guys, where the tendency is, I think, when you put guys in that are kind of new to the situation, it's so vanilla. Well, now that they've done this a couple weeks in a row, has that been able to kind of help them maybe expand what they've been wanting to do?
I don't think they've really changed the playbook. You know, they've talked about, you know, next guy, you know, you hate to use that term, next guy up.
Sure.
But, you know, he said that they, you know, Chris told me, we coach our young guys just like we coach our older guys. They need to get out on the field. They need to be prepared to get out on the field.
Sure.
And so they're ready to go. Now, in actuality, can you do that all the time? No, because your ones are definitely going to get more attention. But these guys have stepped in, you know, and yeah, maybe some of these games are a little closer than they would have been if the starters were in there.
Sure.
If the normal start, but they're still winning.
I was going to say.
You're getting experience and you're winning.
Yeah.
So I think that's a plus.
Yeah, exactly. And before we get to the prediction point, Tom, which we'll get to in a second, I think it's worth noting that there's something important that is going on tonight in addition to the playing of a game tonight.
Right. At halftime, Hawaii is going to honor, honor their football program from, I actually bring notes. See, I tell guys never to bring notes, but I didn't want to mess this part up.
Sure.
From, I think, 1950, from the late 50s to early 60s. And part of that honor is going to be Jack Schneiders, who will be honored. He was the head coach back then. He was the head coach, in fact, for the first 10 years that Hawaii was open. And led him, they had a 30-plus game winning streak at one point, 70 wins in 10 years. And honor him, and then they're also going to retire the jersey numbers of three players from back in the day who earned All-American honors. And frankly, you know, talking to Chris about it, it was a Hawaii's mistake that these numbers haven't been retired before, because these are All-Americans,
sure,
and they should have been done, and they're correcting that oversight tonight.
Okay.
And the three of them are, let me look at the sheet, I was going to say, George Heisler, Leon Delassus and Tom Bacon.
Okay.
Their numbers will be retired, and like I say, there will be a ceremony at halftime for that. I think there's a little reception before the game, and, you know, I if you're an old-time Hawks fan, some of those names might be, you might remember. It's a little before my time.
Right, right.
But, you know, and it's great that they're honoring, you know, the older guys.
Sure.
You know, the guys that really, you know, started the basis of the program.
Absolutely.
And kind of got where it is today. And I'm imagining that they're probably going to go through the years and continue this, you know, coming up, you know, honor guys that have played before.
Okay.
And it's just, you know, a nice night to look at Hawaii's history.
Absolutely. Okay, I guess we'll just get to the point where we ask you, how do you see this one playing out tonight?
Okay, the Yanni's 0-8, but they played seven. Tonight will be their eighth game against a team that is either ranked or has been ranked during the year.
Okay.
So they've played a schedule.
Sure.
But then we're going to go on the other hand. They played a great schedule, but they've struggled against that schedule.
Right.
They have trailed at halftime in all eight games.
Right.
In fact, they've only scored a touchdown. They've never hit double digits in the first half in any game this year. So, I don't know. I kind of wonder how excited Vianney's going to be to travel to Jeff City to play on a Friday night.
Right.
You're an 0-8 team. You know, can the season get over fast enough? I think that's going to be a little bit how mentally ready are they. You know, the key will be, can Elias come out and kind of step on them early?
Yeah.
And then that, you know, kind of take the life out of them.
Okay.
And if that happens, I think it's going to be a pretty comfortable margin. I think I picked, I can't remember what I picked in the paper, but it's, I'm going to say Hawaii's 45-8.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Tom Rackers, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune. And get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Tom Rackers on Twitter at TJRackers. Thanks for listening.